Sisters, good morning once again, brothers and sisters. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor to stand before you once again to present the message from the Almighty God. First of all, I want to thank God for allowing Brother Young to lead us in these songs that we have been singing so far. It has been a pleasure just having him lead us and giving Brother EJ well-deserved break. And as we continue to lift up the Almighty God in songs and everything that we do where the worship is concerned. I want to thank you for those who are joining us from outside of the state, outside of the country, especially back home in Jamaica, my home country, and especially from the congregation of Highgate, the Highgate Church of Christ. We're thankful, we're very happy that you're able to join with us, Sister Marcia Walker, Sister Elsie Smith, among others, Sister Rose Lewis and others. We're really, really very delighted to have you with us. I'm going to ask if you will bow your heads with me as we see God's help as we go into this lesson this morning. Father in heaven, it is just beyond words that we could be standing here today at a time when so many are ill, so many are very sick, so many have lost their lives, especially in the midst of this pandemic, among other challenges that we face in this life. We're thankful just to be able to gather, even online, to worship you. And Father, may our hearts be led by the Holy Spirit. May the message, Father, resonate and be riveted in our hearts so that we, on a daily basis, live to please you. Guide us, Father, lead us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When this pandemic was made known back in about February of this year, our lives began to experience some radical changes. It was no longer business as usual. Just about every aspect of society had changed in some way or another. But especially so in the field of sports. You know, many sports administrators sat down in trying to figure out how they were going to have NBA games, baseball games, and all these games with thousands of spectators. And they came to the conclusion that they were going to have these games without spectators. There were players who just didn't like the idea because, as you know, players get the energy from the crowd. All that shouting and cheering normally energize players. And so the very thought of playing these games or any game at all without the crowd was something that was not too attractive for many players. You know, the crowd is so important, so much so that in some instances, what the NBA has done, and even baseball and so on, is to use computer to sort of give the effect that there are people there cheering. Sometimes you will see a huge computer screen with Zoom links or people on Zoom cheering, watching the game from a computer. Because the crowd is so critical to the nature of the game and the performance of the players, that even the sports administrators are trying their very best to sort of bring as much as they possibly can the sound effect of the crowd. You know, one of the great blessings, my friends, that we as God's people have is knowing that we are not in an empty stadium, so to speak. That as Christians in this life, in this stadium of life, in this arena of life, we are not performing without spectators. As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I want to talk about that this morning for the next few minutes that I have. The great cloud of witnesses. Because I want you to understand how essential that great cloud of witnesses is to each and every one of us as God's people. First of all, Who is this great cloud of witnesses? Who is it? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, that is the chapter before, we find the Hebrew writer mentioning several prophets and also females, also Rahab among them, who were people of faith. He mentioned them as people who were servants of God and who had to learn to walk by faith in the midst of challenges and in the midst of persecution. They had to learn to live their lives by faith. And the Hebrew writer went ahead and mentioned some of them, name by name by name. Many of them were persecuted because they refused to renounce their faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 36 and 37, Hebrews 11, 36 and 37, listen what the Bible says.
And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented.
These were some of the people of faith, some of those who lived under the old law. The Bible says that they went through a torrid time just so that they would renounce. They were tortured in the event that they would renounce their faith in God. Some lived as refugees, as we saw in verse 37. In other words, they had to be constantly be on the run for their lives. For what? Not because they were thieves, not because they were robbers or murderers, but because they were committed servants of God. They had to live like refugees. Verse 36 that Brother EJ read for us tells us that many of them were beaten. They were scourged. That's what it says. As a matter of fact, many of them constantly lived under the threat of torture. Again, for what reason? So that they would renounce their faith in God. Some of them were put to death. Tradition tells us that Isaiah was sawn in two. We know that Stephen himself was stoned to death. Peter himself was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Other Christians were thrown to the lions in the amphitheater. For what? So that they would renounce their faith in God. But they refused, and because of that, they lost their lives in the process. Even the threat of torture, even the threat of death could not force these witnesses to renounce their faith in God. And so listen, my friend, they were so faithful that the Bible tells us something that is so important in verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 38, look at what the Bible says.
Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
In other words, they were so faithful that the Bible says, God says that the world was not worthy to have them. Look at that. Because they were committed, devoted in their service to God. The world did not deserve them, the Bible says. These were the cloud of witnesses. And the Bible calls them cloud of witnesses because the term cloud suggests that there are so many to mention. That's why the Bible uses the term cloud of witnesses. Having said that, the writer now turns his attention to the Hebrew Christians to whom the letter was written. To whom the letter was written. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew or Jewish Christians who were in danger of going back under the old law. These were Christians who were converted to Christianity, but their fellow Jews were trying to get them to go back, to come back under the old law. They were trying to get them to renounce Christianity and to once again embrace the law of Moses. And as a result of that, many of these Hebrew Christians were persecuted. Many of them were now thinking of looking back and going backwards. Many of them had gone back, the Bible tells us. They needed to learn as Christians, as new Christians, to look to Jesus, not to Moses anymore. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, Hebrews 12 And verse 2, look at what the writer says there.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So this was the time of Jesus, not Moses. There were no living under the new law. Christianity is all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the writer says, this is the time when you must look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, not Moses. And the author wanted them to learn from those witnesses who had gone on before, whose faith were rock solid. They were immovable, even in the face of persecution. They refused to give up their faith in God. These Christians needed to look back and look at these faithfuls, look at this cloud of witnesses under the previous law, and see how faithful they were, and that they never gave up their faith. These Christians, these Hebrew Christians, to whom the book of Hebrews was written, were in desperate need of encouragement. And that's what the Hebrew writer tried to do, to encourage them. You see, my friend, a discouraged Christian is an easy prey for the devil. Amen. A discouraged Christian is just a step away from backsliding and ending up back into the embrace of the devil. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews the 10th chapter, and verses 37 through to 39, look at what the writer says here. Hebrews 10, 37 to 39.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
But if any man draw back.
If any man draws back.
My soul shall have no pleasure in
him. My soul shall have no pleasure in him.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
We are not of those who draw back to perdition. In other words, these were Christians who were becoming weak, who were allowing themselves to be pulled back under the previous law. And the writer says, listen, if you draw back, you're drawing back to perdition. Perdition means destruction. And they needed to learn that. But again, the writer wanted them to look back at the cloud of witnesses and to see how firm and immovable and how steadfast these faithful servants of God were. They needed to learn that. What about us today, thirdly? What about us today? Christians today are assured of crowd support. This is not like when a team goes and play in another area where they don't have home field advantage, where they don't have the home crowd supporting them. The Christian needs to understand that as he lives his life in this arena and the stadium of life, that he has the full support of the spectators. That's why he says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, we are to so live. We're to so live, my friend, as if our supporters are right there in the stands, in the arena, cheering for us, urging us on. It's all about faith. It's all about knowing by faith that you are being urged on, you are being cheered on by your own supporters. Faith tells us, my friend, that we are not alone in this life, even as we struggle. And I know that at times you will feel lonely. I know that at times you feel very tired in every which way possible. But you're not in an empty stadium. You have spectators who are giving you the spiritual adrenaline in which you need to perform and keep on keeping on. In Hebrews 11 and verse 32, Hebrews 11 and verse 32. Look at what the Bible says here.
And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon,
yes,
and of Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets.
So in other words, he's saying, if I had the time, I would tell you about all the others, but there are so many that I just don't have the time. He wants us to understand that the crowd that supports us is an innumerable number. He didn't have the time because of the crowd. There are so many. The Christian needs to understand that when you feel lonely, be assured that you're not alone. That when you feel tired, understand that the crowd is cheering for you. The crowd is on your side. I'd like to turn attention to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. And let me give a little background information to this passage of scripture before Brother EJ picks up at verse 12 down to verse 17. So here was Aram, a country by the name of Aram. And so here was the king of Aram. And the king of Aram had made many successful surprised attacks on Israel. Israel just couldn't stand it. They were being attacked in a very surprising way. And so after a while, the king of Aram realized that his surprised attacks were failing because Israel now was learning and knowing when and where and how the king of Aram was going to strike. The king of Aram became very angry because he couldn't understand why he's now failing so dismally. And then he said, you know what? I believe that there's a traitor in the camp. Somebody among us is tipping off the king of Israel as to when we are going to strike. Who is that person? Well, one of the officers came and said, no. Sorry, there's no traitor. But in verse 12, I want my brother to pick up from me at verse 12 of 2 Kings chapter 6.
And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
No. Hold on a minute here. He's saying that even king, even if you whisper something in your bedroom, in the privacy of your bedroom, Elisha the prophet knows it. Continue reading, sir.
And he said, go and spy where he is, mm-hmm. that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about.
No. So the king of Aram decided, well, the way to solve this is to capture Elisha. We're going to make a surprise capture on Elisha. And so they surrounded, they realized that he was in Dothan, and they surrounded the city by night. And so let us see what happened the morning afterwards. Continue, sir.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, mm-hmm. and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do?
Oh, hold on a minute there. So the servant of Elisha woke up and saw the city, and he and his master, Elisha, surrounded by the army of Aram. And he was extremely hysterical. Lord, my Lord, what are we going to do? Let us see what happens afterwards. Continue.
And he answered, fear not. Mm-hmm. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Wow. For they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Yes, sir.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes
may
see.
No, Brother EJ, I want you to know that that passage you just read there is one of the most inspirational passages in all of the Bible. He prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see.
Amen.
Read on.
And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, mm-hmm. and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
No, for the sake of time, the Bible tells us that they were struck, the army was struck blind as they tried to attack Elisha. Elisha prayed to God that the army be struck blind so that they could not see. And the army of the Arameans were led into the presence of the Israelites. And the Bible says that they were captured. When they regained their sight, it was too late. They were already surrounded by the army of Israel. What's my point this morning? My point is this. That until we learn to see by faith, we will never realize that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I pray that the Lord will open our eyes so that we can look beyond the physical and know that we are not alone in the stadium of life. That sometimes, yes, you will feel alone. That sometimes you'll feel like nothing is going for you. But the crowd, that great cloud of witnesses, is there cheering for you. Yes, the Bible tells us that. And so when you feel like nothing is happening for you, as if God has abandoned you. Remember 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Whenever you feel like, you know, nothing is happening for you, and you feel like you are all alone and you're weak, listen what John says in 1 John 4 and verse 4.
Ye are of God, little children, mm-hmm. and have overcome them.
And have overcome them. Why?
Because greater is he that is in you mm-hmm. than he that is in the world.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a motivational piece of scripture. That even though we may be alone physically, when God is with us, we outnumber those who are against us. That's what the Bible is teaching us. And sometimes, my friend, not only will you feel like you're alone, but sometimes you will feel like you don't have the spiritual energy, that you're becoming spiritually lethargic, that you're becoming weak. Listen what the writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
Lift up your hands which hang down, he says.
And the feeble knees.
And your feeble knees.
And make straight paths for your feet.
Yes, sir.
Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But let it rather be healed.
But let it rather be healed. In other words, he's saying, be strengthened. When you look at the crowd, spiritually speaking, by faith, you will be energized. Because that's what the crowd does. It energizes us. It spurs us on. It gives us the enthusiasm that is so much needed as we try to cope in this stadium of life. Sometimes, my friend, you will experience persecution. In 1 Peter, you will experience some form of persecution. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, feel like, you know, everybody's against you. Your boss, you know, your neighbor, your friends. But listen what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11.
But the God of all grace, mm-hmm. who hath called us unto his eternal glory by yeah. Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
after that he hath suffered a while,
mm-hmm.
make you perfect,
yes.
establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And if you go back to verse 9 now.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith,
yes.
knowing that the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren
yes.
that are in the world.
Knowing that the same suffering you're going through, it's not just you alone, my friend, but by your brethren in the brotherhood. Other Christians are going through the same thing because it's a part of the life that we live. Every time you decide to be faithful and to be more faithful, expect some backlash from the world. But you're not alone. But the God of all grace will strengthen you. And if you remember that the great cloud of witnesses is there cheering you on, then it will give you that necessary energy that you so desperately need. That is why, then, we need Hebrews chapter 11. Because when you go back to Hebrews 11 and see all these people, these servants of God, when you read of their stories, the heroes and the heroines, when you read of their stories, we are encouraged to keep on keeping on. What they went through should serve as an inspiration for us today. It should serve us. These men and women who had this dogged commitment to God to stay the course are sending us a message that we too can do the same because we are strengthened by the Almighty God. They have taught us that to run this race, we must unentangle ourselves from anything and everything that will set us back and will hold us back. Lay aside, he says, every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. And so as I close, my question is, how do you feel today? Do you feel alone? I know in this era of COVID, We being so locked in and feeling so secluded, it is easy to feel like you have been abandoned. But the writer says that is not the case. You have an innumerable crowd that is cheering for you. You are surrounded by them and they are on your side. They are cheering for you. Don't you give up now. Don't you give up. Even in the face of the challenges, because of course the best is yet to come. That's what these folks in Hebrews chapter 11 looked forward to, a better city whose builder and maker is God. If you are with us this morning, and maybe you're feeling very weak, maybe you feel like your spiritual energy and your spiritual passion is no longer there as it used to be, this is a good time to go back and look at these men and women of faith in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and be energized and inspired by them. If you are not a member of the body of Christ, I can't think of a better time than to say, yes, you know what? I want to make sure that this crowd is on my side. And therefore, I want to give my life to the Almighty God. I want to become a servant of God. And if you're willing not just to hear this message as you see on the screen, but to believe it and to repent of your sins, Luke 11 verse 3 and 5, and to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're willing to do that, my friend, then there is no doubt that the Lord God will add you to the church, in which you will have that great cloud of witnesses cheering for you until you reach heaven. Let us bow our heads as we pray, please. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the great cloud of witnesses that is there to cheer us on, because only you know, oh God, how much we need to be cheered on. Sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel. But thank you, God, for those men and women that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 and throughout the scriptures that are there to remind us that they are on our side. And because they did it through your help, we today can also be faithful to the very end. Remind us, oh God, that it is only if we remain faithful to the end that we shall receive a crown of life. Bless us, oh God, and especially those who are not members of your Son's body. I pray that they will respond to the gospel before time changes into eternity. Bless us, O Father. In Christ's name, I humbly pray. Amen.